So the Rambam now, we're on page Lamed Dalet in the Rambam introduction to Mishnah Rav, the Rambam Lamed edition, and Lamed Tes in the Rav Shilat edition. The Rambam says, after I've explained the concept of Halchot L'Moshe Sinai, now I want to arrange the different Halchot L'Moshe Sinai. V'ani Asadel, the Rambam says, and now I will arrange Bechan over here, Rov Adinim, most of the laws Shneimar Ben Halchot L'Moshe Sinai. That regarding those laws, our sages said, these are laws that we have on tradition from Moshe from Sinai. V'efshar, and it's quite possible, says the Rambam, she'yakol, that that I will actually manage to encompass all of them. V'yitber lecha, and when you see these, when I enumerate them, so it will, you'll understand, amitat ma she'amalti, the truth of what I've said. She'en men afilu achat she'otziu b'derech svara, that there isn't even one of them that the rabbis derived using logic. And one cannot align it with any verse other than if one wants to show that there's an asmachta, as the Rambam discussed last time. If you want to say, from this verse you have a leaning towards this understanding, towards this tradition that we have, you can say that. But there's no way to derive it from the verses. And we don't find that the rabbis ever searched for logical reasonings behind these laws that we have on tradition. Or that they tried to prove them. But rather, the rabbis handed on tradition from Moshe, Moshe Tzival, to HaKadosh Baruch Hu, just as God had commanded him. And these are the enumerations of the Halchot L'Moshe Sinai. So we're going to try to quickly run through them without going too deeply into each one. You understand the Rambam is going to encompass much of Shas now. So we're doing the Rambam's introduction to Mishnah, and in his introduction the Rambam is going to enumerate the different times that the rabbis told us something which was Halachah L'Moshe Sinai. So the first thing is Chatzi Log Shemen Natoda. When one brings an offering of Toda of thanks, so then the oil, the amount of oil that one has to bring with that sacrifice isn't written in the Torah. That's a traditional Halachah L'Moshe Sinai that has to be half a log. I guess it would be the fourth chapter in the introduction.
He went through all the generations, Moshe, and
he went through more. Shemen LaNazir, and a revius, a volume of a revius of oil that has to be allotted for the Nazir when he brings his sacrifice. And we have a concept that a woman, when she has her period, so then she has the days of her period, the 7 days of her period, and then there are 11 days in between periods where we say if she sees any menstruation during then, we treat it as blood of Ziva, not blood of Nida. Now, it doesn't say that anywhere in the Torah. And this concept is very relevant. There are two forms of Tumah. We don't know to discern between them. To us, they both look the same. But we have on tradition that there are two distinctly different. Ziva literally means flowing. So we say there's Nida, there's the flow of the cycle. And then there are exceptional flows. The exceptional flows have different laws than the flows of the cycle. And how do we discern between them? So the tradition we have from Moshe from Sinai is that it depends on which days they come. During the 7 days of her period, so that's a period. After those 7 days, you have 11 days where anything that you'll see will constitute ziva. After those 11 days, even though ordinarily most women have 28 and a half, 29 and a half days between periods, but the halacha says you have 11 days after nida, after the period of menstruation, where anything that will be seen will be ziva, and then after that, the first time something comes, that'll be nida. That concept that we divide the month into 7 and 11, that concept is Halachah L'Moshe Sinai. It doesn't say it anywhere. Good. We have a concept that when you have a wall, so we treat it as though the wall keeps going up to the sky. And if you have a wall that comes down and doesn't come all the way down to the ground, so halachically we'll treat it as though it keeps shooting down. So that concept is a halachic concept. It doesn't say it anywhere in the Torah. It's a tradition we have. Lavud, the concept that when you have a wall or something that's missing up to three hand widths, up to three tefachim, we consider it as though that space is filled. Up to three tefachim, we say even if there's a space, we consider it as though the space is full. So that's also a tradition we have from Moshe from Sinai, and it doesn't say it anywhere. V'dofen akuma, and if you have a wall that leans over, so we can consider it a continuation of the wall with regard to sukkah, like as though the wall continued. Meaning, ordinarily in a sukkah, you have to have schach. You're not allowed to have a plank. You're not allowed to have a wide piece of wood. But if you have a piece of wood near the wall, so then up to a certain width, we'll consider it as an extension of the wall. Even though ordinarily it would disqualify sukkah, here we treat it as though the wall went on a slant. This concept of dofen akuma, that we treat the wall as though the wall bent, that's halachan Moshe Sinai. Shiurin, all the different measurements in the Torah. Chatzitzin, when one immerses in the mikvah, Elazar could tell you guys, he has to cleanse himself, that there shouldn't be anything separating between him and the mikvah waters. This concept of chatzitza, what constitutes a separation between the body and the water and what not, is halachan Moshe Sinai. Mechitzin, the concept of mechitza, what constitutes a good division between public domain, private domain, halachan Moshe Sinai. Tfilin al klaf, the fact that we write tfilin on this form of parchment. Mezuzah al duchsustus, the fact that we write mezuzah on a different type of parchment. V'sefer Torah al agvil, and the Sefer Torah written on its type of parchment, halachan Moshe Sinai. That's all halachan Moshe Sinai. It doesn't say it anywhere in the Torah on what you should write the tfilin mezuzah and Sefer Torah. Shin shel tfilin, the fact that on our tfilin we have these three indentations, or these three places where we squeeze the hide to form a shin. Kesher shel tfilin, the knot of the tfilin. Ritzot shchorot, that we have black straps to the tfilin. Tfilin merubot, that the tfilin have to be squared. Ma'abat to the tfilin, that the tfilin has a a pathway for the straps. Halachal Moshem Sinai. All of this is halacha Moshem Sinai. When we write the parshios of the tfilin, so we wrap them with the hairs of the animal when we stick them into the tfilin. This concept of nichrachot bisahan, that we wrap the parshiot with their hair, v'nitparot begidin, and that we sew the tefillin together with the sinews of the animal, halacha Moshe Sinai. It doesn't say it anywhere. It's halacha Moshe Sinai. Kotfin sefer Torah bidyo, that we write a sefer Torah with this type of ink, umsugal, and that the sefer Torah has to have lines on it, that we engrave lines like a lined paper, halacha Moshe Sinai. Chutami bat shalosh anim v'yom echad en biyata biya. We say that a girl under 3 years of age is—it's considered that anyone who has relations with her, he wounded her. That's not considered that anyone had relations with her under 3 years of age. We say that anyone that does that to the girl, it's not that that constitutes relations. That's called just wounding the child. It's relevant if, let's say, a person does it with a girl that's biblically prohibited. Does he get the death penalty? Did he have relations with the girl or not? She, of course, is absolved. She, of course, was Shino under 3 years old. Under 6 years old was Shino. And anyway, she doesn't get any punishments. She's not ready for punishable age till much older. But he, do we consider what he did an act of... the fact that it's perversion is not relevant. The fact that we don't treat... that the borderline age is three, that before three we treat it as just a wound, and after three we treat it as though... relations happened here, that's halachal Moshe Sinai. Ha'oseh sadeh shnei min yechitin, if one plants in his field two forms of wheat, asan gon achad, if he put them together into one granary, noten pe'achat, then he gives pe'ah as though they were one form of wheat. Shtei gonot, if he makes them into two piles, noten shtei pe'ot, then you give pe'ah, the corner of the field, you evaluate in two different ways, because we treat it as two forms of wheat. Halachal Moshe Sinai, that's halachal Moshe Sinai. Zeronei gina, it's surprising that we're almost finished with the listing. This is all there is, according to the Rambam. Zeronei gina she'inam nechalim, mitzlafin echad mesim abba menofel toch betzea, that when you have seeds that you plant in a garden, how many seeds combined are problematic for kilayim? That if you're going to plant these seeds, we say you have to separate the seeds that are kilayim, that are cross-breeding from the planting. So up to 1/24th, we say that 1/24th of these seeds, if they constitute 1/24th of the mixture, then you have to sit down and sift them through. That's halachal Moshe Sinai. Esa netiyot mefuzrot lebetzah choshinko betzah bishvilan, the concept that before Shemitah, if you have 10 plantings scattered in a field of a se'ar, that's a 50 by 50 amma. So then you could plow the whole field till Rosh Hashanah. Ordinarily we have to stop plowing fields long before Rosh Hashanah of Shemitah. But for these young plantings that were just planted, so we say they need you to plow the field around them in order for them to hold their own. So that concept that we're allowed to plow for them till Rosh Hashanah of Shemitah is Al Charm Shem Sinai. The concept that if you have a cake of figs and part of it became tameh, so you take off truma from the part that's pure and the part that's tameh is Al Charm Shem Sinai. Hachazan roe mechana tinkot korin, that Chazan, a teacher of children, may see where the children are reading, even though he himself may not read on Friday night from the Torah, because we're concerned he'll tilt the lamp and cause the fire to burn better. That's Al Charm Shem Sinai. This is a very problematic Rambam, by the way, because this concept that we don't read from a book on Friday night, this is a rabbinic decree. So how could you have Al Charm Shem Sinai saying that he's allowed to look at where the children are reading, but the whole concept that it's prohibited is rabbinic. You guys with me? The rabbi said, "You do not read books by candlelight Friday night because you might come to tilting the lamp, and that's burning. That's biblically prohibited." But the concept of not reading by a lamp's light is a rabbinic decree. So the Mishnah over there clearly says, "Be'emet amru." The Mishnah in Shabbos says, "Be'emet amru" usually means Al Charm Shem Sinai. Hachazan roe echan tinkot korin avlu lo yikra. The chazan, the one who teaches children, he could see where the children are reading Friday night. He himself may not read, but he could look and show them the place. Because that doesn't take too much focus. You're not going to come to tilt the lamp in order to find the place to show the kids. So this concept seems to revolve around the rabbinic decree. So the commentaries over there say, it doesn't really mean it's Al Charm Shem Sinai. It means this is on tradition going back to way back when they made this decree. But it doesn't literally mean it's Al Charm Shem Sinai. The Rambam here clearly says, not like that. The Rambam here says that that the Chazan is permitted to see where the children are reading is Al Charm Shem Sinai. The question is, has that word with the fact that the whole prohibition is rabbinic? Aisha chugelt basina ben fanea ben milachara Al Charm Shem Sinai. That a woman can wear her apron in the front or in the back, and in her apron she puts things. So ordinarily we say when you take things out from private domain to public domain, in order for it to be biblically prohibited, it must be done in an ordinary fashion. But women, when they wore their apron, as they worked, the apron would run around them. Meaning they'd work, and sometimes the apron would slip to this side, sometimes the apron would slip to that side. So we say that if she carries something in the apron to public domain, even if the apron was, she was wearing it backwards on her back, being that women will often not fix it, sometimes when they work it's on their back. A woman, when she's running around the house, doesn't have time to fix her apron. And the way they wore their aprons, they'd revolve around them through their workday. So that's considered she took it out in a normal fashion, and it's biblically prohibited. That is Al Charm Shem Sinai, that we view the apron this way. When it comes to wine, our sages permitted one to mix wines, and it's not considered that he's being deceitful. That we say that even though he took a sharper wine and mixed it with a weaker wine, in their days, the sharper wine would make the weaker wine better. Even though a guy might say, I want to buy weak wine. We say, yeah, but that mixing that he did didn't really harm you. We don't understand the way their wines worked. But for some reason, this was something that was borderline. One might say it is unfair business practices. We have on tradition that it is fair business practices. That's Al Charm Shem Sinai. Amon u'mav me'asrin ma'asar ani b'shvi'it. Ammon in Moabite territory, the Jews that live there, on Shemitah, so they don't have Shemitah because their land isn't holy. But they do take off Maaser Ani. They take off the tithe for the poor. That's Al Charm Shem Sinai. So the Rambam just told us all the halachot l'Moshem Sinai that he could think of. And he says, maybe I covered all of them. Uv'chol makom shetavo achat me'elu halachot v'ma shanu tedin nefaresh min ha-Mishnah. And anytime you encounter one of these halachos, says the Rambam, when I'm explaining the Mishnah, Shama Foshenu Bimkoma Bezrat Hashem. There I'll explain it. So the Rambam didn't give us the commentary we just had. The Rambam says, I just gave you the names of these concepts. You're going to learn the Mishnayot. You'll encounter these concepts. So you should know. I'll explain it when I get there. Lefichach hayu chelkei hadinim hamiyusadim b'Torah al ha'ikarim eilu shehekdamnu nechlakim l'chamisha chalakim. Therefore, says the Rambam, if we want to break down the oral law, it breaks down into five sections. And that's where we're going to pick up next week, the five sections of the oral law. So we saw a brief enumeration of the halachot l'Moshem Sinai, the Rambam enumerated. And the Rambam says, maybe I exhausted the list, maybe there are some I left out. And the Rambam says, now that we understand this concept of Alachal Moshem Sinai and the Smachta, now we're going to see, based upon this, what are the five sections of the oral law.